Get away from her, you bitch!
And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
Ian, freeze! Get the cannon! Get rid of the fire!
Dear Sam, hip.
You're listening to DMR.
I'll be throwing one of these in with every purchase of 500 million or more. It's a piece.
It's 1999, baby!
That's for all you Limp Bizkit fans out there. So, welcome back to DMR. We are on the precipice. I love that word. Precipice of the 100th episode. Not quite there yet. However, this is episode 1999. What a great year. Great year for film. Ironically, it was a year that this movie came out, which is called The Talented Mr. Ripley. Now, this is going to be a two-for-one special, but in a different way. So, I'm going to be reviewing one of my favorite movies, which is The Talented Mr. Ripley, that came out in 1999. Which is a crime slash drama movie starring Matt Damon. You also got Jude Law and Gwyneth Paltrow as well. But on the back of that, I'm going to be reviewing the new Netflix series simply called Ripley about the same character, which basically is set in Europe. The movie's set in the 1950s. The series is set in the 1960s, so I'm going to be going over both of them. I'll start off with the movie, then I'll kick off into the series and what I thought about the Netflix series that has come out recently. But before we do on episode 99, let's go over a sharp-looking suit from MJ Bale. All right, so we've got the Coleridge jacket, which is a slim fit jacket, and there's a trouser combo as well. So created from 100% Australian superfine merino wool, the Coleridge jacket is woven from pure merino wool in a super 110s check twill construction. It features a half canvas construction and is fully lined. So having a look at this suit, it's a dark grey suit, or it's a charcoal looking suit. Very sharp. If you're dressed in a charcoal suit, you really do mean business. I've got a couple myself. They do look very, very sharp when you are wearing these in a business occasion, or you've gone to a wedding or something along those lines, dinner party, whatever. It's going to be a good addition to your MJ Bale collection and your wardrobe. So jump on MJ Bale's website. Remember, the link is in the show. And check out the Coleridge jacket and the trouser combo there.
Thomas Ripley lived a solitary life until a wealthy man offered him an extraordinary opportunity.
Did you ever conceive of going to Italy? I'd pay you to persuade my son to come home.
Dickie Greenleaf, it's Tom. Tom Ripley. We were at Princeton together.
How do you do?
You're so white. Did you ever see a guy so white, March?
You know, you should come and have lunch with us.
All right, so jumping on Rotten Tomatoes for the movie, which is The Talented Mr. Ripley, came out in 1999, crime slash drama, 2 hours and 19 minutes, the fair runtime. I've seen this movie, I reckon probably about 50 times. It rates very high on Rotten Tomatoes. The critics, with over 140 reviews, is 85%. Then you've got the audience score at 80%, so they're pretty much in line with each other there. So the critics' consensus, with Matt Damon's unsettling performance offering a darkly twisted counterpart to Anthony Minghella's glossy direction, The Talented Mr. Ripley is a suspense thriller that lingers. This is bang on. So let's go down a little bit further on Rotten Tomatoes and have a look at what the movie info is. To be young and carefree amid the blue waters and idyllic landscape of sun-drenched Italy in the late 1950s, That's La Dolce Vita, Tom Ripley, Matt Damon in brackets, Craves, and Dickie Greenleaf in brackets, Jude Law, leads. When Dickie's father asks Tom to bring his errant playboy son back home to America, Dickie and his beautiful expatriate girlfriend Marge Sherwood, in brackets Gwyneth Paltrow, never suspect the dangerous extremes to which Ripley will go to make their lifestyle his own. So that pretty much sums up the movie in a nutshell there. So what I love about this movie, the start of it anyway, basically Tom Ripley or Matt Damon is a third class mooch, as Dickie Greenleaf eventually calls him. And he's in New York playing on a piano. I will be talking about some spoilers in this movie. So if you haven't seen The Talented Mr. Ripley or the series that's now on Netflix, go back and watch them before you listen to this episode. You have been warned. I will be talking about spoilers. So Tom is basically playing at a event on the piano. He's quite good on the piano, actually. And then he is basically summoned or asked by Mr. Greenleaf, or he meets Mr. Greenleaf. Then he asks Tom to basically come over to his factory. He's in the shipping game, if memory serves, I think it is. And basically says, look, my son, he's a bit of a pain in the ass. He's over in Europe. He's spending all my money or his allowance. He's living the lifestyle that he wants over there. He's playing it up. And I want you to go over to Europe and persuade my son to come back home. And we basically have Tom over in Europe, where he starts to track down Dickie Greenleaf and Marge Sherwin, which is played by Gwyneth Paltrow. So the look of this movie set in the 1950s, the cinematography in this movie is very crisp. I've been to Italy how many times? I think it's just once or throughout it back in 2008. Didn't go to the areas where this film is shot. However, it's a good looking movie. Very fun. You can imagine what it would have been like back in the 1950s, where everything was glitz and glamour, especially if you've got a playboy like this Dickie Greenleaf and he's leading a life basically that Tom wants to lead. However, he tells his dad, if memory serves, that he knows his son because they went to the same school together. And when he meets Dickie over in Europe, he kind of worms his way into their lives. He meets Marge and Dickie on the beach, and he basically says to Dickie, hey, Dickie, it's Tom from Princeton. Remember me? And he goes, oh, okay, yeah, I can't really remember you, but whatever. So they start to befriend Tom and let this guy into their lives. Probably a little bit too easy. He starts living with them for a bit, and him and Dickie basically reignite what they may have had in the past, and they're very good chums at the start of the movie. So that's how it all basically kicks off.
Now he's in a world he always dreamed of.
No, I like him.
Marge, you like everybody.
Marge, you like everybody.
If you're not home by 7 o'clock, Tom and I are running off together.
With people he always admired.
You can't sail, you can't swim. Did you ever know such low class?
Oh yes, poor Tom.
Living the life.
Why is it that when men play, they always play at killing each other?
He always wanted.
You stay at Dickie's house, eat Dickie's food,
and his father picks up the tab.
And now that he has it.
You could hardly expect this to go on forever, Tom.
You've had a great run, though.
What?
He'll do anything to keep it.
I've never been happier. I feel like I've been handed a new life.
Unmerited, by the way.
Dickie Greenleaf.
So throughout the film, we see him and Dickie become a lot closer. He starts to covet his lifestyle. He starts to covet his relationship with Marge. The thing about Tom Ripley is that you don't know whether he is gay or not. He might be on both sides of the fence, could be heterosexual, he might be homosexual, can't really remember, but you can see throughout the film that he's really in love with Dickie in a sense that he's like his brother, but it's more so that he wants his life, I think. Because the way that Matt Damon portrays Tom Ripley in this film is that Tom is a chameleon. He is a psychopath. He knows how to blend in. He knows how to basically turn on his charm and be charismatic and suave. And the issue that happens throughout the movie is when Philip Seymour Hoffman's character comes in, a guy called Freddie Miles, which is an old friend of Dickie Greenleaf. He is larger than life. He's also from money, and it's very clear that Tom cannot match up with his flamboyancy in terms of having a good time. And it's very clear from the outset that these two are enemies. They do not get along at all. Freddie doesn't like Tom. He can see right through him. And basically, the apple cart is upset. Things start to unravel when Tom has overstayed his welcome. And basically, they go down to a place called San Remo, I think it is, to look for property down there. And Dickie basically says to Tom, is that, look, I think we should spend some time apart. Like, it's getting a bit too long in the tooth. And Tom doesn't take it well at all. They hire a boat out in the middle of the water, and the two start to argue. And Dickie basically says, you always hang around like a little girl. Dickie drives Tom absolutely mad. Tom picks up an oar off the boat and basically slams it into Dickie's head. They fight, and then he basically finishes the job thereafter, killing Dickie. So the rooster is now dead in the hen house, and the fox is starting to take over the situation. So he gets rid of Dickie's body and then goes back into where Marge is staying and starts to act like everything's okay. However, he's basically saying that Dickie wants some time apart and we don't know where he is. So very interesting how it all kind of plays out up on the screen. And then we've got the identity theft that starts to take place, where he goes and checks into a hotel. Somebody accidentally calls him Mr. Greenleaf, and then it clicks in Tom's head that, oh, I can actually start to get by and portray this Dickie Greenleaf character. And he does. And that's what happens throughout the film. He starts to basically tell people that he is Dickie Greenleaf, and the world start to clash with inspectors that come in, police that is, to investigate the disappearance of Dickie Greenleaf. He's telling the authorities that he is one person, he's telling other people he is another. It's a big web of deceit and it's a big mess, but you can't help but be intrigued and watch this up on the screen all unfold. Then you've got the character of Freddie Miles, who tracks down Tom in an exclusive apartment, comes in and says, where the hell is Dickie? The only thing that looks like Dickie in this room is you. You're dressed in his clothes. Like, what is going on? He's basically on to him. He can see right through the situation. And then, spoiler alert, another spoiler, Tom ends up killing Freddie Miles as well. A very brutal scene with a statue in the apartment that he's staying at, and then he gets rid of Freddie Miles' body as well. So it starts to all unravel, but as it does, he basically cleans up the mess by lying his way through it and deceiving everyone. Then you got Marge Sherwood's character, played by Gwyneth Paltrow. She comes back in on the scene. She doesn't believe Tom at all either. And it all comes up to a big climax at the end of the film, where Mr. Greenleaf comes over from the States as a private investigator, also on the situation or on the scene. And it's all cutting through to the fine line of how Tom is going to get out of it. And he eventually does, by lying his way through it. And with this identity theft, telling different people different situations about what happened. So, very good movie. Very good movie. I am butchering the storyline a little bit there, but that's basically what happens in this particular film. It's a very good identity theft movie. It's a very good 1950s, almost has that detective noir style of movie, where you set back in a time where it's very, very glamorous, a very good looking landscape that they're in, and this guy has basically wormed his way into these people's lives and he starts killing them. Very similar to the guy out of Saltburn, the movie that came out last year with Barry Keoghan. Very similar kind of storylines where he worms his way into a rich person's life and basically starts to kill these people in certain ways or unassuming ways and then lies his way through it. That's what I really liked about Saltburn as well. Very big similarities in terms of that movie and this movie. But looking back at the 1999 movie, it made $81.3 million at the box office. It came out on a streaming service in 2013. Every time this movie is on, my wife always says, "Oh, you're watching Talented Mr. Ripley again." I love it. It's one of my favorite films. It's not in my top five, but it could be in my top 10 movies. I just love the look, the feel of it. The acting in it is good. This is Matt Damon in his prime. He just came off the back of Good Will Hunting back in the day in 1998. I think that came out with Robin Williams. So he was hot, hot stuff in terms of his acting ability back then. He's still a very good actor. I love the guy. He's a very, very talented actor, Matt Damon. He's been in a ton of stuff, but this is where he made his debut, or around the time that he made his debut, with a knockout performance. Philip Seymour Hoffman is very, very good in it as well. Gwyneth Paltrow is always good. Rest in peace, Philip Seymour Hoffman. He's a great actor. We do miss his talent. However, it's a very good film. So on to the Netflix series that has come out, simply called Ripley. So let's go into that, shall we?
Hello, Marge.
Where's Dickie?
The guy just disappeared off the face of the earth.
He hasn't called. He's hardly written. You don't just dump people.
Something's going on.
Do you have something you'd like to say?
I think I'm saying it.
I bumped into Dickie last week.
Dickie?
This is a secret. It's a secret between us.
I know it was you. I know it was you!
Whenever Dickie does something, I feel guilty.
I know about you.
Well, you get the reward.
I always thought it would be better to be a fake somebody than a real nobody.
I don't believe a single word you've said.
You're shivering, Marge. Can I hold you?
All right, so we've got the series that's coming out on Netflix. Very similar in terms of the score. So we've got 85% for the critics and 83% for the audience score. So very similar to the movie scores for both those parties. So a wealthy man hires down on his luck grifter Tom Ripley to travel to Italy to urge his vagabond son to return home. Tom's acceptance of the job is his first step in a life of deceit, fraud, and murder. So this is an 8-part series on Netflix, as I mentioned. So the main character is Andrew Scott, playing Tom Ripley. So let's have a little bit of a look of what he's done in terms of his movies. So we've got here the highest rated movies is All of Us Strangers at 96%. He's been in a few other things as well. King Lear, Prime. So actually, he's been in a fair few movies, a fair few of them. So jump on there. He's been in 1917 as well. Fair few movies out there for this guy. So the interesting thing about this series is that it's set basically in the 1960s. So it's set a little bit after the movie, because the movies is the late 50s. And then you've got this set in the 1960s. So the interesting thing about this particular series is that it is all in black and white.
May I ask you to describe Thomas Ripley? What line of work are you in, Tom?
Accounting.
You're a very hard man to find.
He came to Italy, moved into Dickie's house. He just wouldn't go away.
You like art, Tom? You're in the right place.
You like art, Tom? Well, you're in the right place.
Tom is one of those people who takes advantage of people. He's taking advantage of Dickie.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So I like black and white movies or series, don't get me wrong, I think they are quite good. However, when you look back at the movie, the Italian coastline is very, very good to look at, with all the blues and the whites and all the architecture and whatnot. So I feel they've kind of wasted that in this series, where it's all in black and white, so you don't really get that pop of what it was like in the 1960s in Europe and in Italy with all the cars and all that. Also, the difference between the black and white and the color and the actual characters themselves is that when Tom basically meets Dickie Greenleaf and Marge on the beach in the movie, it's all very, very Europe. There's plenty of people around. It's all very colorful. It's all very glamorous. However, in the series, he just meets them on a deserted beach, and it kind of didn't have that same feel as the movie did, where it's all glamorous, glitz and glamour and all that, and it just feels very dull. And I don't know why, because of the black and white, I'm not entirely sure, but it just didn't have that same pop as what it was like in the movie. So we've got the two other characters, which is Dakota Fanning. You obviously know her, she's a child actress. She's doing a lot more. She was also in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So she was quite good in this series. I actually quite liked her. But she's very different to Gwyneth Paltrow's Marge. She's very bland in terms of her attitude and whatnot. And she kind of evolves throughout the series different to how Gwyneth Paltrow's Marge evolved throughout the movie, especially around the ending of the series. I'm not going to go into too many spoilers about what happens to her and how she handles it. However, it is a different ending to what we saw in the movie. So then we've also got Johnny Flynn playing Dickie Greenleaf. So he, I feel, was not as charismatic in terms of how Jude Law portrayed him up on the screen. The whole thing about the Dickie Greenleaf character is that you want to be invested in this guy's life. So guys want to be him, women want to be with him. It was all kind of that glitz and glamour of that time frame, and this guy was spending his dad's money throughout Europe, and everybody wanted a piece of the action. They just wanted to be friends with this guy because he's out, he's happening in the movie, he's playing a saxophone in jazz clubs and whatnot. And he goes down to San Remo with Tom and thinking about starting the drums and all that. It's all very much in your face, and you want to be friends with this guy. This guy, Johnny Flynn, who plays Dickie Greenleaf, I don't feel he was like that at all. He seems quite dull as well in terms of the character. So it kind of didn't match up for me in terms of what Dickie Greenleaf was supposed to be like. It's because the way that he's portrayed in the movie is why Tom Ripley wants to basically be Dickie Greenleaf, because of how he lives his lifestyle. This Dickie Greenleaf, although it was good acting, don't get me wrong, it wasn't the same. So it kind of, for me, that the film that I really, really love seeing a series like that with the characters I know and love portrayed in a different way, it was kind of a shock to me, because I thought they would do a lot more with this flamboyant type of character. Anyway, so it's a very similar storyline in terms of what happens in the series versus the movies. It's probably about 85% of what happened in the movie happens in the series, so to speak. So it's still very good cinematography and whatnot, and the acting as well. However, there are differences that happen along the way. The choice of Freddie Miles, it doesn't mention the guy's name here, but I'm pretty sure it's Phil Collins' son. I could be wrong here. He is cast as Freddie Miles, and I felt that was a miscast as well in the series. Don't get me wrong, again, it's good acting, right? But it's not the same type of character that we're know and we love back in the movie, because of how flamboyant this other character is and how he worms his way through and can see right through all of Tom's bullcrap, basically. So I felt that was a bit of a miscast as well. However, I do like how it all kind of wrapped up with the story as well, especially the last episode and how it wraps up and how the web of deceit, where Tom basically tells everybody who he is, like being Dickie Greenleaf, it all kind of unravels at the end of how it all happens. But again, it's good because it's like when you watch Tom, although this guy is a psychopath, although this guy is the bad guy in the movie, you can't help but kind of root for him, and you want him to succeed, if that makes sense. That's the whole draw card with this particular character, because he's so deceiving, he's such a chameleon, that you want to see him basically achieve his mission and get through all this crap, because at the end of the day, he is playing these rich people for fools, and more credit to him. More credit to him. Good luck to him, I think. So it's very cool to watch up on the screen. But I really did like the series of Ripley, and it's going to be interesting to see if they actually go through and do another series, because apparently the Tom Ripley is a series of books. There's about 5 or 6 books, I think, or so I've read. So it's going to be interesting if they actually do a season 2, because all these stories that I know is just of this particular series and the movie. It's, as I said, the same kind of thing. However, I want to know what the rest of the stories are like with Tom Ripley. So very good watch to watch up on Netflix. So if you haven't seen The Talents of Mr. Ripley or Ripley, make sure you go back and check them out. They are very good series. They're very good movies to watch, what have you. So make sure you do that. So thank you for tuning in to my review for one of my favorite movies, which is The Talented Mr. Ripley and the new series on Netflix. So this is 99th episode, and we are going for the 100th episode next time. So thank you for tuning in, as always. Laters on the Menjay.
False IDs, bank letters. What's going on, Tom?
You crazy?
I don't trust him. He's a liar. It's his profession.
The corpse was found on the Via Piantica, struck on the head by some heavy instrument.
My God.
This is what I do for a living. You're interfering.
I'd like you to leave.
I bet you would.
Someone is dead in Rome, and Signor Ripley is missing. This is the situation.